prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good evening, and welcome to Ever Beyond. Tonight is a very spontaneous and special evening. We had Stuart Swerdlow's show earlier on, and his guest was Gary the Numbers Guy. We don't even... That's his surname, I'm sure it's his surname. And so I said, oh, I really love you on my show. And he said, okay, tonight. All right, okay, so here we are. We're being very adaptable, which apparently is quite common for a man of my numbers. And so without very much ado, because we've got... basically, Gary, we've got 2 hours of as much airtime and space as you like. You can fill it to your heart's content, and that's really what my show is about, is the contentment of the heart, of being able to express yourself from your very soul, literally to bring your soul energy here onto the planet in as fine a fashion as you can manage it. So, welcome, Gary.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Basically, I'm a numerologist that has decided to dig a little bit deeper into the power structure here on Earth. And through dates, because one of my first love was history, and combining numerology along with astrology, I think I've connected the dots to a few things. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and anywhere else you want to take the show.
Superb. History. We like to know where things come from here. We've been delving into a bit of the history ourselves, exploring it indeed with some native elders who have been speaking with Dave Corso and Thomas Hughes on this station. But we're a kind of family. We all join in with each other's radio shows, and it becomes a great big pool of knowledge because everybody's got their own angles of questions and understanding, and it really helps. So it's lovely to bring you into this and to share a few cups of tea in our living room.
I'll put my 2 cents in.
It's great. So with Stuart, you had a very, very information dense run of the kind of current news, but as I said, here on Ever Beyond we like to explore and go a bit deeper, where things come from is really the best thing. Obviously, everything comes from the original source, but how it's played out, Gary? How has it played out through this history?
Well, we'll get back to what you were talking about a second ago, because you know I have a lot of theories of the source and everything else.
Yeah,
I call it the prime creator, because I think it's insulting to call anything God, because there's so many false gods out there. I think when you say prime creator or source, that basically covers it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of starting to agree on this, on that terminology. It's non-inflammatory.
But one of the things I've noticed when it comes to the structure of power in the world is how the elitists always do things around certain dates. And I'm going to talk about the number 11.
just as we established just before the show that I have a number 11 in my... Is that the life path?
That's your life path. 3/18/1961, if you add all that up, it's going to add up to 29. 2 plus 9 equals 11. Means basically you're old, so you have a lot of charisma. And you can't be very emotional.
Oh, bless. I can.
Now, I'm going back to what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest dates in human history was 11/11/1918. And what happened on 11/11/1918 was the powers that be decided they were going to end World War I that day. And the reason they ended it on 11-11, and by the way, at exactly 11 o'clock that day, was because it's very difficult to have peace under the number 11. Not saying people who are 11s are not peaceful. What I'm saying is that is a highly emotional number. And to have peace, you got to be a little bit, you got to be thinking from a logical perspective and not an emotional. And they made sure they put that emotional perspective because it will tap into an emotional vibration with both sides. Speaking back then, the Germans and the English, the Russians, the Ottoman Empire, and the whole nine yards. So they ended World War I at exactly 11-11 at 11 o'clock because they knew that would start another war. And that was all according to their plan. But what...
Hang on a second. So they knew it would start another war, so they stopped. It's like a pause in the military.
That it, all it is you know, just like a truce. I'll get down and I'll explain exactly.
Okay. Sorry. I just had to jump in there. Like, wow.
No problem.
Yeah. And the other thing is, who is the they?
A lot of people call them Illuminati. Mm-hmm. A lot of people call them, you know, Babylonian Brotherhood. Whatever. I think elitists or the elites, Hidden Hand, whatever you want to call them, that basically covers them.
Yeah.
People have to understand, you will never know their real names. It's not the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
You will never know their real names. Information is leaked for a reason. We know about the Rothschilds for a reason. But getting back to my story, because I'm trying not to get sidetracked.
I'll try not to sidetrack you.
No problem. On that same day, 11-11, 1918, there was a country formed. And it was called the Second Polish Republic. The country of Poland was reformed when the Treaty of Versailles was signed on 11-11. And what the interesting part is, that means Poland's birthday was 11-11. Now, having said that, I also said that the elitists planned World War I and World War II and the upcoming World War III. Now, see, they made sure Poland was the country that got invaded in 1939 to start World War II, the country that was created on 11-11. Am I making sense?
Yeah, so it was partly to do with programming, so it would... intentionally happen in that time. Is that right?
Yes, they're basically tapping into a frequency by having a country or a place born at a certain date. And if you go with their agenda, you'll see the same thing is happening with Iran. The Iranian Republic was established on February 11th, 1979, when the military declared itself neutral and the Shah's forces got routed by Khomeini.
Ah, right, okay.
So, we have another country that is established on the 11th, and all of a sudden, I mean, it's a safe bet that World War III right now is probably going to start through Iran.
Right.
So you see from World War I ending at 11-11 at exactly 11 o'clock to World War II starting... when the Nazis and the Soviets invaded Poland, a country that was created on 11-11, to Iran that was created on 11th, and now we're pushing toward World War III with this country. What I'm trying to say is the powers that be, is they're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
Right. Same board, different game. I see what you mean.
Exactly. They've everything is done for a reason. I mean... When you see, the best way to understand what's going on is you have to be able to read between the lines. When you see an Iranian scientist was killed on the 11th of this month, that has sparked international attention. When you see that the Americans accused Iran of an assassination plot on 10-11-2011 on the 11th, you see where this is leading. They do things to get the people all emotionally riled up on both sides to lead to war. They have a Marine now who's stuck in Iran who's about to be executed. Who the hell sent that Marine there? You know, they're moving all the chess pieces into place.
Yeah. You can see it unfolding.
That's what I'm basically trying to explain with the number 11 when it comes to history. That's only one event, one of many.
Yeah.
As I already talked about, you know, on Stewart's show today, 9/11, Madrid, that happened on March 11th. The interesting thing about 9/11 is Pearl Harbor happened on December 7th. How come we don't call this Pearl Harbor December 7th? But how come we call 9/11 9/11?
Yeah.
Because they want to get that vibrational energy, get everyone into synchrony.
It's interesting. Even the word 11, the Dalin, has a rhythm to it that is unusual. None of the other numbers have the same rhythm and melody of the word 11. There's a brilliant thing. I live in Scotland, and the way that the Scottish people say 11 is very unique and very different from the Americans. And there's a YouTube sketch where the two guys are trying to say 11, and they can't make the same sound as the lift will recognize, and they go completely crazy. It's great fun. Look it up. It's on YouTube. But this 11 is a rhythm, and it's a ripple. Even saying the word, and I think this is where we also may be going, is saying the word creates a vibration as well, as its original 11-ish vibration.
I agree 100%. And just to add another 2 cents on it, can you imagine, 11? I mean, just to have everything so in sync with each other, this is way beyond, you know, the capacity of the human brain. This is way beyond to have everything, like, for instance, the numerology with the letters, with the numbers, with the words. I mean, this, to me, that just proves without a shadow of a doubt there has to be some kind of prime creator. You know, just to have something so in sync with everything. It's so almost perfect.
It's almost like one of those Victorian automata that appears to be doing random movement, but it's all worked according to gears and clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
And they know the mastery of the gear work. Interesting. A friend of mine who is an automaton repairer has just been helping Martin Scorsese create his film, which is about an automaton maker. And perhaps that's got some message in it as well. To see the word from the world from the inside out of the gears, because you're actually in the 3D. It's like you're inside the gears.
You know, having said that, you know, when you look at Hollywood, they release certain movies on certain dates, and this is something I found very interesting. Horror movies don't make a lot of money in Hollywood, but they keep releasing them. They keep putting them out there. To me, I think when you put people in that type of environment and you get them all emotionally raised to fear, I think somehow, some way, there's entities that feed off that.
Mm.
Like, for instance, whether it's a sporting event or a horror show, where people are, you know, very emotionally involved, I think there's some type of entities out there that can emotionally feed on that energy. And I believe that's, how can I put this, why everything here is so geared to entertainment, sports, everything like that in the world, not just to keep the sheep busy so they don't, you know, so the right hand doesn't see what the left hand's doing.
We're talking.
I think there's some type of energy that, you know, basically is out there that human beings aren't very aware of.
Well, this is interesting because it's just come out in some scientific paper or else about these amoeba-like creatures which can't be seen in visible light, but can be seen in light that is beyond the visible, like ultraviolet. I can't remember if it's ultraviolet or if it's in infrared. But these beings are parasitic, and that these beings create an emotional state that they kind of feed off, and it's like the bacteria in your gut that turn to not bacteria, the yeast that they turn all your sugar into alcohol and poison you, and that's the, you know, the candida, what they call candida. It's like a parasitic entity, and I think that behind, I was just talking with my guest tonight, behind all of these evil people is this parasitic element, and I think they call that the Archon. Have you heard of that?
I've heard different names, but it basically comes down to the same thing. To me, there is such a push by the elements to get emotional rage out of people, whether it be for joy, whether it be for sexual satisfaction, or whether it be for some kind of, you know, gambling vice or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem only logical to me that there has to be something feeding on this.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. So, given that, we can then begin to forgive those people who we call the elites or the Illuminati, because they're the victim of that parasite too, because it's parasitic, because it hides inside the host and pretends to be the host. It takes over the mind. It takes over the emotions.
There is that way of looking at it. I would prefer to think of it. Have you ever seen a Russian doll?
Yeah.
And, you know, you open up one,
there's another one in there.
You open up one, there's another one.
Oh, man, I've had nightmares like that.
To me, these elitists, they're basically like that. You don't know where the hidden hand is, and, you know, you know, there's always a group within a group. And at most of the levels, these people, you know, just want theirs. They just want a bigger house, bigger everything. But at the very, very top of the game, I don't believe it's human.
Most certainly. Now, either some kind of intelligence or, yeah.
Now, if you look at the medical symbol that's all around the world, it basically has a snake going up a pole.
Yep.
Two snakes, exactly. Mm. Two snakes going up a pole. Now, that medical symbol has been around for hundreds of years in different forms, but it's basically a snake going up a pole.
Mm-hmm.
DNA was discovered about 50 years ago, and if you look at the strands of DNA and the sequence and the way they go around, if you just go to Google Images or something like that,
yeah,
you look at that strand of DNA, it looks awfully close.
It's like two snakes going up a pole.
Yeah, it looks awfully close. So my thinking is, what is it that those that are ancient, you know, whatever you want to call them, knew that we still don't know now?
Hmm.
Now, you hear a lot of stories about reptilians, true, not true, whatever. But here is concrete proof that those two snakes going up the pole basically look a lot like our DNA symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we are to say that both of those, you know, if there's at least some kind of connection there, then the question has to come, it's very simple. How come we only use 10% of our brain?
Yep.
Why is it that there is some kind of DNA lock that prevents us from using 100% of our brain power? So is it very possible that something manipulated human DNA? And then I keep going back to that medical symbol and that DNA.
Yeah, and the snake.
Mm-hmm. The same snake that's in the Bible.
Mm.
And to me, when I think about the story about the Bible and the snake, that I don't look at, you know, some snake just went up to a girl and gave her apple. to me, I look at the snake symbolizing reality of the world, and the apple, basically, when she bit the apple, she basically could finally see the world for what it really was. Because without biting the apple, she was basically ignorant, and ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, she was ignorant and scared because she was scared of what's going to happen. Like many people are very scared of, you know, what's going to happen if the dollar fails, what's going to happen if, you know, they're held in thrall by the spell of the Garden of Eden. Perhaps the Garden of Eden didn't have any walls. Perhaps it was just like an electric fence that they could just pop over.
That's one way. But if I was in Europe, I would be more worried about the euro right now than the dollar.
Yeah, well, I could see from the start that the euro was a bomb waiting to go off. Luckily, we have pounds, and we also have our own local currency here.
You know what was very interesting?
Yes.
Britain is the one country, the United Kingdom, is the one nation that was basically America's ally when it invaded Iraq. And that mission was basically to convert Saddam's oil from going being sold in euros to dollars. That's basically what it was about. Anyone who wants to study will understand. But if you notice, the British are not in the euro.
No.
Yeah, I always found that, you know, what more evidence do you need? The one country in Europe that's, like, not back, doesn't have any interest in the euro whatsoever is helping America support its dollar.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much people can actually look to. I mean, the euro obviously was meant to bring down Europe the same way NAFTA is meant to bring down America.
Mm.
And what's going down in the United Kingdom, there's a interesting point. Would you say when the United Kingdom exited the Middle East, it stopped being a superpower?
It's difficult to say when it actually happened, but it did. It did. You know, when I was a child in the 60s, it felt like we were a lot bigger. We kind of ruled the world. And it really feels like we've diminished into the tiny spot on the north face of this planet that we really are. I think certainly we're not as kind of all powerful as we used to be, in terms of we being Britain. But I'm not very English-ish.
And I understand. In the United Kingdom, four nations to one, right? A lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I live in a place called Scotland, which is very much like America in that it's a group of nations which are known as clans or tribes. But
I know all about Scotland, the Highlander.
Yeah, so I live in the Highlands of Scotland, and it's a very singular place. It's very unusual. It's not like anywhere else, and that's one of the reasons that I like it. People are very friendly here. It's beautiful. Well, the skies are fantastic. The water is clean.
I've seen the scenery of Scotland just by watching the series The Highlander. And it looks like a very beautiful place.
Yeah. Actually, most films, you know, if you see films, there's a lot of films that are filmed here. It's craggy, it's mountainous.
Lord of the Rings, right?
Hmm?
I think Lord of the Rings was filmed there.
Yeah. So it's a very singular place, and lots of kind of ley lines are coming here and all that business. But that's the interesting thing about Scotland. It's a group of nations, a group of clans, whereas even England is like that. The accents vary so much. It's almost like lots of different dialects of the same sort of Englishness, but it's not really. But the people that you're seeing as the UK, the Crown, now that's a whole different animal. From English people. The people who run the crown, they're your elites. They're your Khazarians. They're your Zionists.
Well, I don't believe the Zionists are at the top of the food chain either. They play their role too.
Yeah.
You have to understand, the Zionists for the top of the food chain, there wouldn't be this polarity of negativity against Zionism.
Mm.
Like there is, you know, they're playing both sides against each other, and there's a puppet master at the very top.
Mm.
I always talk about the number 11. Well, let's go a little bit deeper into the Palestinian Jewish conflict.
Hit it.
On, I believe it was November 29th, 1947. Again, 11/29, 2 plus 9 is 11. That's when the British mandate to leave Palestine was approved. they were out. That's the day. And a lot of people say Israel was born in 1948. Oh, no, 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 no. Israel was born that day because that's when the war between the Israelis and the Palestinians started, and the Arabs, that day, on 11/29/1947. And again, showing how the powers that be use numerology to make sure a war goes on for a long, long time. If you look at a lot of the UN peace treaties that they signed, basically to try to create peace treaties or ceasefires, you'll notice that a lot of them happen on December 11th or, you know, some day that adds up to an 11. You know, this just goes back to the same formula of 9/11 or 3/11, making sure conflicts go on for a long, long time. The war on terror, there's no end to that, and they know it.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about how numerology is in sync with everything. How about letters? The vowels in terror, T and O, right?
Mm-hmm.
E is the fifth letter alphabet, and O is the 15th. 5/1/5/11. Terror, a fear tactic. You understand how this works? Everything is in synchrony with each other, and they make sure they do things on certain dates.
Yeah.
I don't remember every single time the UN passed the resolution on, you know, the Palestinians and stuff like and the Israelis. But if you look at a lot of them, they were on 11 days, December 11th. But I'm sure about 11/29/1947. That's the day the mandate was basically said that the British would leave Palestine, and that's the day the Arabs and the Jews went to war.
So let's go going back to this this magical 11. Is that
I don't want to call it magical.
Well,
it just
okay.
It's just in tune that
yeah.
That's giving you hocus pocus.
Yes,
it has nothing to do with that. There's just energies around us, mm-hmm. and the numbers aren't sync with the energies.
Yeah, sorry, it was a turn of phrase. But going back to the 11 frequency. We've been brainwashed into believing that 11 means peace.
yeah.
Right? So people will start doing things of their own accord on 11 days that are supposedly trying to add to the inner peace of the world. So you're saying by doing that, we're actually playing into the hands and adding energy to the energy of the next war?
Every number has its good and its bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, you know, like for instance, the Berlin Wall came down on the 11th day. It's not all bad things, but it's all emotional things.
Mm-hmm.
The people in positions of power, they just happen to use that frequency for negativity.
Mm.
It doesn't mean it's a negative number. It means that people in power have learned how to use that number in a negative way against the masses.
So would it be... I mean, there are a lot of like peace meditations that happen on 11-11-11 and all that sort of stuff. Do you think they're blowing in the wind?
I think meditation and all that stuff on 11 days is perfect. I'm just telling you, if you're wishing for world peace on 11 days, I think the opposite's going to happen.
Hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yep. Yep. No, this is very good, very good information. So, continue laying it out. Keep doing it. It's brilliant. Absolutely. You were talking about Palestinian and Israel being formed on these 11 days.
Well, like I said, from World War One that was stopped on 11/11, to the Palestinian Israeli conflict that was started on 11/29.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed different countries. I mean, it's always 11 days. I believe the Suez Canal. When the British and the French invaded Egypt, I believe there's a lot of 11s in those dates. People just have to look through the history books, and you'll see the 11s pop out. On 9/11/1973, General Pinochet in Chile basically took over the government, killed, you know, the prime minister and stuff like that in the U.S. backed coup. April 11th of last year, the French, they were so noble as to take out I believe it was the Ivory Coast. They took out President Mbagbe. I might be butchering his name, but they did it on April 11th. They made sure to take the guy out that day and basically hand the country over to unelected government. When you look at what happened in the Middle East in 2011, again, you have the 11 on the back end. That's when all the riots came on the 11th, in the 11th year of the new millennium. Libya was attacked. Going back in Libya's history, Libya was attacked in 2011, and 100 years before, the Italians invaded Libya, which was at that time part of the Ottoman Empire, in 1911. The correlations just go on forever. For instance, Colonel Gaddafi. He was born 6-7-1942. 6-7-1942 adds up to 29. 2 plus 9 equals 11.
Right.
Mubarak in Egypt. He was born, hold on, let me remember. Damn it. Forgot his. 5-4-1928. 5-4-1928 add up to 29. 2 plus 9 equals 11.
Mm-hmm.
So the two leaders who were basically leading their nations in 2011, who are 11s, were taken out. It doesn't stop there. What's his name? In Yemen, Salim. He might not be an 11, but the day he decided to step down and sign the contract to basically give him immunity from prosecution, and he steps down as president, was November 23rd, 2011. And that again adds up to an 11 day. You look at Syria. They're having problems in Syria. Well, it just so happens that President Assad happens to be born on 9/11.
Right.
Too much stuff here to be a coincidence.
This would make someone crazy, wouldn't it? Did you have a moment, when this started kind of bursting in your brain, you kind of these synapses going off all over the place? Did you have a moment when you think?
Maybe it happened to me in 2005.
Not 2011. That's right.
Something like that. As soon as I started noticing, I remember in the American presidential election in 2008, you had Barack Obama, who's born 8/4/1961, adds up to 29. 2 plus 9 is 11. Mm-hmm. His running mate Joe Biden is born 11/20/1942, add everything up, adds up to 29. 2 plus 9 is 11. And the Republican ticket was John McCain, born on the 29th. Again, you have your 11. Mm-hmm. And his vice presidential ticket was Sarah Palin, who again is born on the 11th. I mean, it's a joke. it's a joke. I mean, if you think this is just by random, I mean, even the law of averages should tell you by now, it's improbable for something not to be going on.
Yeah.
So what basically is going on is the people in positions of power, they're picking their puppets and they make sure they're 11s. And I'm not saying everyone who's an 11 is a puppet. God, no, I'm not saying that. There's a lot of, gurus who are 11s.
Mm.
And, help, goes both ways. But they like to pick their puppets with the master numbers because the 11s have a lot of charisma, and people feed off that.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting. It's not got me far yet. Anyway, I had a question from the chat room here from Sophie, it was Infant Om who said, "Yet they seem to have missed something pretty big ones like 11, 11, 11." Did you notice anything that day?
No, they didn't miss
did
anything.
Did you have an 11-gasm?
They didn't really miss anything. Yeah, I was getting bashed around in the U.S. media pretty good that day. but if you notice, they closed down the main energy point on this planet on 11/11/2011, and that was the Sphinx and the pyramids in Egypt. They were shut down that day.
Really? What did they do?
Oh, yeah. I wonder where the elitists were.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I mean, that would be too obvious, wouldn't it?
Yeah, my phone's just lit up, 2333. It does the it's dark. It's on the charger, and suddenly it pops up with a date in a time. You know. So anyway, there's 2333. Back to that 23 question. That was interesting. So, do go on with your history, because this is fascinating.
Well, different nations. I like to talk a lot about America, because obviously that's where I'm here, and it's the superpower.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the history of the Soviet Union, the guy who broke it up, Mikhail Gorbachev, became the General Secretary of the Soviet Union on 3/11.
Right.
You know, that wasn't you know, you could see where it was going after right there, because he's the guy who brought down the Soviet Union, and you know, he came in office on the 11th. Hurricane Katrina happened on the 29th here. Do you remember the what was it? The oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes.
Okay. The oil disaster happened on 4/20/2010. Now that in itself is an 11 day, but watch this.
Mm-hmm.
11 people died.
That's right, I remember that.
Off top, 11 people died.
Yeah.
Now, the oil rig actually sunk in the sea on 4/22/2010, which is an 11 day.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned Pearl Harbor happened on 12/7. Mm-hmm. And no, that's not an 11 day. But you know what is? Germany, Nazi Germany, declared war against the United States on December 11th.
Right.
So it's all over, you know, from history, from any standpoint you want to look at it.
Okay.
I'm sure if I, you know, could go through every country's history, I would find 11s there, all, you know, within pretty much all the big events. But here in America, another big event was Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City happened on 4/19/1995. Everything up, it's 3 plus 8, and 3 plus 8 is 11. Happened at 9:02 a.m., another 11, and they executed the son of a bitch who did it, or who the patsy was, on the 11th. So, again, the whole system basically goes in itself. And to me, I just don't understand how people could think this is coincidental.
Mm. Well, I'm going to take it into another dimension here. Because as you were saying, you know, you're talking about Pearl Harbor and then America joining the war and things like that. And Pearl Harbor was on the 7, and the declaration was on the 11. So could it be that there are number sequences that
yes.
play out? So
yes,
that you have 1, 3, 5, 11 or something like that?
100%. But to explain those sequences, we'll turn this show. It will be very boring very quick. you know, that's something I do in my spare time, or something I do when I observe the stock market or look at currencies. But that's very, very boring to talk about. I will give you with this. 7 and 11 are best friends when it comes to the numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are 11 and 7 life paths end up getting married.
Mm-hmm. So, that's an interesting thing. So, we're talking about the energy of it's like a fractal energy, like the Fibonacci sequence is a certain certain formula that kind of unfolds as our nature unfolds. It doesn't mean that we're all going to turn out like clones, because like that automata making random appearing movements, everything has a blend of all the different frequencies that it's made from and all the different influences that it's made from. And
that is true, but after the year 2000, the kids born after the year 2000, they're going to have a lot closer to that hive mind than anything that was seen before. That hive mind thinking.
Mm.
So
it's possible that we could, rather than be subject to a huge hive mind, actually make it like a proper mind, you know, a mind with intuition.
I'm sure there will be, you know, people who are outside the grid who do that type of stuff. But when you're talking about inside the grid, I do see a hive mind, as in, you know, with insects,
mm-hmm.
Where they're, you know, they're not going to know the difference between right and wrong. They're just going to think as a collective. And you see that a lot happening right now with political correctness and everything. I'm not sure how bad it is where you are, but, you know, in Australia, they just passed some kind of law that you can't make fun of, you can't make any jokes about blonde people because it's offensive. You know, it's going to get to the point where you can't say anything and free speech is to be stifled, and that's exactly what the powers that be want. If you notice, whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant. The world has been feminized a lot since the year 2000 hit. There's been a lot more socialism going on in the world since the year 2000 hit, and the two basically deals with the female energy. And people who were born in the 2nd and 20th, they're the type of people that if you say something wrong to them, they're going to remember it for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of feminine energy that can get very easily hurt.
Hmm.
So a lot of more people are going to be a lot more easily offended now than they were before, and the fact that they're teaching this stuff in the schools is not helping the cause at all.
So that's interesting because, you know, like, with all other numbers, you add them together and they make one other number. But if you add the 11, you know, the ones of 11, they make two. So would you say that the 11 is the outward and the two is the inward thing of the same thing? Is it that simple?
Not
that linear, is it?
The 11, the 22, and 33 are master numbers. They don't get reduced. Their frequency is at a much higher level than all the other numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, the one is the male energy. The two is the female energy. And the one and the two, basically, their energies are combined to make an 11. The 11 takes the athletic ability. The being, you know, just a lot of people are on the 11th and 29th are very muscular, very thin, you know, athletic builds. And from the feminine side, it takes the emotional energy. So it's more of the one and the two mutated into a whole new ball game in the 11.
Hmm. So we're talking about, you know, the 11ization of our reality. It's like, what you're saying is that, you know, there's too much 11 energy, and
I think it's being used the wrong way.
Yeah. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I know it's being used the wrong way.
So 11 has been co-opted to an agenda.
Yes. Like for instance, it was 2007 when there was a date called 7/7/2007, and the media was going crazy that day saying everyone should get married that day. Everyone should get married that day.
Mm.
Well, the 7 stands for loner energy.
Loner.
People who are born on the 7th, 16th, or 25th, they're loners at heart. Why on earth would you want to get married under loner energy?
Mm.
And because anyone who gets married on 7 days, 90% of the time, is going to fail. So the government was setting up people for a loss. They were basically setting them up for failure by telling them to get married on 7/7/07, where the correct date to get married on, at least for most people, is 11/11. That's a great day to get married on.
Right. Like, what about the 29th?
That's a great day to get married on.
That's why
Prince William was married on the 29th, and that's why his mother was married on 7/29/1981 before. Mm-hmm. By the way, Prince William is born 6/21/1982, adds up to a 29, 2 plus 9 equals 11,
mm-hmm.
just like his father.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on forever.
Yeah. My parents actually were married on the 29th of April as well, so it's a very interesting. I had a parallel there.
Oh, they picked that date, believe me.
Yeah.
For a reason.
So,
They got their own numerologist working for them.
Oh, I bet. So here's the thing, all right? So we've got co-opted 11s. How do you ameliorate the excessive use of a particular frequency? I mean, in the sonic realm, we have the idea of the reciprocal frequency, which is like exactly halfway along the turn of the spiral. If it was like 12 o'clock, it would be 6 o'clock kind of thing. So is there a reciprocal energy that can be used to calm down or neutralize the energies that are being used? Is there a way of doing that?
Well, let me just put it this way. Colonel Gaddafi had billions of dollars at his disposal, and he lasted, I don't know, what, 6-7 months? My point being that you would have to take down the whole freaking infrastructure of the media and the way they promote things for something like that to happen. If you're just talking about it on an individual basis, yeah, that can be done. On a worldly basis, I'm not sure how to do it as long as they control the media.
So we're talking about, I'm talking about individual and community, because...
Oh, yeah, that's possible.
Everybody who's listening to this radio show is part of a community somewhere all over the planet. And by, you know, having these multiple units of human community, it's like when you dot things in an agar jelly, when you make a culture. I think that's what our real aim is, in a way, is to create a fresh culture that is untainted.
I do believe, like, for instance, I tell a lot of people born on the 11th, control their emotions and not let them their emotions control them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just when you know what's coming, it's a lot easier to prepare for it.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. If you know what's coming, you can be cool about it and not freak out.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I think that's essentially, you know, the modern day Buddha's way of putting it. You know, just stay cool, don't freak out, and watch what's going on. Take it to that. Wow. Huh. Now, I wonder, Gary, are you able to, well, maybe I should ask some of the questions that are coming in the chat room here.
Go ahead.
But would you be interested in taking phone calls?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, so we have a call-in number. It is 1-775-657-5973. Now, I need to figure a way of actually making that work.
That's your department.
Yeah, so let me see. I add that to the conference. We'll see. If somebody calls that, then... actually, I'm not entirely sure what happens to it. but if somebody connects to that, you can try calling in. I'm not going to guarantee that you're going to be able to speak to Gary, but I might be able to pass on a message. I'm not sure about these things yet. We're still flying by the seat of our pants, but as you said, I'm adaptable.
All you need to do is give me their birthdays, and I give them readings, whatever they want.
Right, okay. Well, let me start, because somebody did, and it's one of my co-hosts, Rebecca Jernigan, who's a good friend of Stuart's as well. And I'll give you her details. She put them in the chat room earlier. Where are they? And then we can... No, I've gone too far. Oh, where are you? There we go, coming up. Okay, here we are. There we go. 2/14/1955.
2/14/1955.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another person who is a 9 life path in total. 9 life path meaning you're very adaptable. The reason I said you're adaptable is because you're born on the 18th and 1 is 8, again, is 9.
Mm.
9 is the type of number that they're great at giving advice. They love giving advice, but they don't really like pressure. They don't really like being under pressure.
No.
People who are 9 life paths.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she's born in the 14th, and this is a woman, correct?
Yep.
Okay, she's very good looking. Women who are born in the 5th, 14th, and 23rd tend to be the models, tend to be the good looking ones in life. I mean, it goes for the guys too, but that number really applies more to women. People who are born on the 14th tend to travel quite a bit in their lives. They're not the type of people who can sit still for too long. They're very open-minded, especially being Aquarius. That's a very, very open-minded sign.
Mm.
Again, the 11th sign. 1955 is the year of the goat, and 255 is the back end. She must change her mind all the time. Can never sit still. And ever since her birthday hit last year, that's when she's been having a very, very emotional roller coaster in her life, and her outlook on life should have changed too.
Wow.
That's just brief.
That's brief. That's nice. That's really. There's you got some nuggets in there.
I'll also add this. Her main energy point is in her calf area, and that's probably should be the strongest muscle on her body too.
Calf muscles. Okay, so she can kick butt.
Well, no. People who are Aquariuses, they tend to have very big calves.
All right.
The best leapers are Aquariuses. Michael Jordan was an Aquarius, if you know anything about basketball.
Uh-huh.
So they usually, that's their main energy point in their calf area. You being a Pisces, your main energy point would be in your feet area.
Yeah.
That's why you get aches and pains in your feet all the time.
Boy,
and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Every sign has a main energy point on their body.
Yeah, I haven't been able to dance for 2 years.
Sorry to hear that, but that's typical of Pisces.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so brilliant. So there's RJ, and now we have another one in, and this is another of our hosts. they're all teaming in here. This is Tracy, who's April the 8th, 1964.
April the 8th, 1964. Oh, and you have another good-looking host.
Yeah.
Only difference between her and the 1955 is this one can definitely kick butt. she has a quick temper, but she can she cools off very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Finances, either you have more money than you need or you're broke as hell. You're never going to be middle class, hon. ever since her birthday hit last year, she's been in the same type of year cycle that you've been in, and where she's been kind of like a sponge, just absorbing information as much as possible. More of a loner. But definitely learned a lot since her last birthday hit. Expect a better year in 2012, especially after your birthday, because you're born in the year of the dragon, and 2012 is the year of the dragon. Dragon women are notorious for being the type of who wear the pants in the family. So that's just something for you to look at. But but she's a 5 life path in total, and an Aries, and Aries usually have very, very beautiful faces.
Mm-hmm.
Her main energy point is her head and her face area. She probably gets a lot of headaches and stuff like that, migraines maybe possibly. But just don't lose your temper too much, hon. You'll be fine.
So she's writing in the chat room. She says, "Say it loud, Jay. I'm hot. Don't be quiet about it." Oh my god, she's saying you're right on, particularly in terms of don't mess. She's got a story about
women who are born in the year of the dragon are the toughest broads on the planet. That's just the way it is.
There you go. The old dragon.
And then watch the dragons, man.
Watch the dragons. Okay.
You can always tell a dragon. They're usually, in the center of attention. They're like the Leo of the, Chinese zodiac.
Yeah. She's definitely, she calls herself Ms. Red Queen. And her gaming handle. Ms. Red Queen, Wow. Brilliant.
You got a lot of open-minded people around you, my friend.
Yeah. Very open-minded. Very interesting show. She'll probably want you on as well. And have a... Some more. Okay, here's Sophie. Sophie is 11/04/1956. So that's 4th of November, so she's already a...
11/4/56?
56, yes.
Okay, that's a 9 life path. Mm-hmm. So, again, you have the adaptability of the 9 there, and not the type that likes pressure, wants to be the second in charge, doesn't want the main responsibilities. But the difference with her is she's an extremely hard worker. If she has nothing to do, she'll find something to do. And she's also very, very witty. I'm not calling her a genius, even though she is intellect. What I'm trying to say is... she can figure things out very, very quickly. She has that ability to, you know, just be able to dissect phrases, words, very, very quickly. Also, she can look in people's eyes and tell if they're lying, which is an ability not too many people have.
Handy.
Let's see.
This is interesting. Sophie, I've seen she's come into the chat room the last few months, and she, you know, she just actually did this thing. You know, she said, "Well, if we have 11 energy, why not cut it in half, make it 5.5 energy, and stuff like that." Like you're saying, she's very witty.
And if only numerology is that easy. But another thing is, ever since her birthday hit last year, she's in a new cycle, which being she's in a 1 year cycle, and basically what that implies is she's going to start doing her new start in life begins right now in the next 365 days between birthday and birthday. She's going to become more independent, and she's going to start doing things the way she wants to. Before her birthday in 2011, she was basically tying up loose ends in her life. Now is the new beginning. Now is the foundation for the next 8 years of your life. So, you know, it's a very important time in your life to make the right steps.
Wow, brilliant. I have one before I'm going to go. I'm just going to, because my son is, he was born on the 29th of February, 1996.
29th of February?
29th of February, yeah. He's a leap baby.
Ah, so he's a... You said 96?
Is it 96? Hang on. Yeah, because Amber was born 92, and she's nearly 20. Yeah, 96.
Okay, 96, so he's not only an 11, he's a double 11.
Yeah.
And it's very, very... you know, for 11s like you to have 11s as kids, that's nothing new. Bill Clinton's an 11. His kid Chelsea's an 11. One of Obama's kids is 11. So that, you know, 11s seem to have a lot of 11 offsprings. Mm-hmm. Just put it that way. With him, he's gonna be a how can I put it? A good athlete. He's gonna understand the stuff that you do. The only thing is, he's gonna do it his own way.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, people who are born in 96 find their own ways. People who are born in 94, people who are born in 72, that's the year of the rat.
Mm-hmm.
And rats seem to find their own direction in life. They don't really hang around with one pack of friends. They don't really have lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. They learn a little bit from different packs of people, and then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important for you to understand. Sometimes they seem like they might be not part of the family unit because they wanted to do their own thing. But what I'm trying to tell you is that's normal. You know, he's still young, and you still got a ways to go. But you know, he's going to show that independent streak, and you know that's totally, you know, normal for, you know, people with those type of birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is he might seem like he's the biggest, toughest guy on the planet. He might put on that, you know, aura, but he does not like confrontation.
No, he's a softie. he's funny. He's a softie, but he likes guns, firearms, and things.
He shouldn't be soft physically either. Like I already told you, 11s are athletes.
He's quite athletic. Yeah,
he's not. It's not like he's some small fat kid. You know, but what I'm trying to tell you is, since he's born in 96, he's going to have that personality where he doesn't like confrontation, because 96 is the year of the rat, and rats will run away before they fight. It's just in their nature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what your son does have that other people don't, and this is a great ability. Oh, my God, this is one of the best abilities out there. They can sense danger in their gut.
Uh-huh.
Something just tells them, get the hell out of there. And you tell your son that the best advice I can give him is always trust his gut.
Great. That's a wonderful thing to give him. Yeah, because he's going to be 16 or 4 soon, or, as you say, 5. It's his birthday at the end of the month, or in 6 weeks. And
That's a strange birthday, too, because I haven't been able to figure out since his birthday is on the 29th of February, and that's a leap year,
yeah.
if his year cycles come every year or every 4 years.
Mm.
That's one of the birthdays that, you know, I haven't met enough people who are born in those days to figure out if it's every 4 years or every 1 year, and that's still one of the mysteries to me on numerology. I'm not sure how that works, because I haven't met enough people to, you know, experiment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can keep in touch. He's a very interesting young man. I actually had him on the show doing a review. He loves movies. And I said, Joe, what's da 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 da? And he said, well, it's a this and a that. And he kind of summarized the plot in like 10 seconds. He watches.
Very analytical.
Yeah, but he watches movies like their food.
He watches people.
Uh-huh.
People who are born in the year of the rat observe.
Mm.
But, you know, the rat is one of the smartest signs.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very smart, but he's got dyslexia. So, and he goes to this... But he goes to this academic public school, private school.
And a lot of time, what you think is dyslexia isn't really a disease. It's just the, you know, way some people's minds operate. Like, for instance, if I wasn't dyslexic, I wouldn't be able to see the stuff I do.
Exactly. I was thinking, because he does have an amazing power of observation. And ever since he was a baby, I mean, I remember before he could speak... We were packing up sometime, and I said, I need something to put that in. And I just kind of motioned. I don't even know if I pointed at the thing. But he looked at it, and he beetled off with his little dummy, and he didn't say anything. And then 10 minutes later, he comes back with a box that was exactly the right size for the object that I was talking about. And this is before he could speak. So we could see that he had this incredible spatial ability.
And he's also a very old soul. Mm. Remember that.
Mm.
I said you're old soul and you're just an 11, and yeah. he's a double 11.
Right, he's even older.
You know, that means he's been around the block quite a few times. I mean, he might have been your dad in your past lifetime.
He probably was.
And here's another interesting thing that I want people to know: if they have two people in the same family who are born, like two kids who are born on the same day, to me, and I don't have any proof of this except for, you know, my studies. But to me, that signifies they were part of the family in their past lifetime, too.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting thing, is that my ex-wife, Joe's mum, her and her sister were born, 2 days apart, 2 years apart? Or is it 1 year? No, it can't be 1 year apart. 2 years apart, I think. So basically, one was born on the 3rd of June, one was born on the 5th of June, and Joseph's sister was born on the 5th of March. And like you say, you know, she's a number 5, and she's incredibly good looking, and is an actress and a model, and very beautiful, naturally beautiful.
You know the great thing about numerology, I mean, I could never figure out why some people are rich, why some people are good looking, why some people are smart. Mm-hmm. Now it's so easy.
You cut it down.
You know, you look at a girl walking down the street, and all you got to do is look at her personality for a little bit, and you'll be able to tell if it's a 5 or a 3 or something else. Uh-huh. And, you know, for instance, if a girl is a 5 and she's good looking, big deal, they're supposed to be. You know, if someone's a 7 and they're smart, big deal, you're supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
You know, if someone's born on the 28th and they're rich as hell, big deal, you're supposed to be. that type of stuff doesn't impress me anymore. I already know what it is.
Oh, brilliant. So listen, thank you very much for that. I'll bear that in mind, because, you know, Joe's been sort of running into issues at school because he's not doing what they're telling him. He's just being himself, which is quite similar to me, but that's difficult in a school environment.
I wouldn't let my kids in school, at least not in American schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what they, you know, teach the kids in Scotland.
Yeah.
But
well,
I
this is
you,
interesting. It's the Prince Charles's school.
Oh, well, I'm sure there's a little bit of brainwashing going on.
I think there's an awful lot. I have to bring him home and deprogram him.
Yeah, that because, you know, I the filth they're teaching in, you know, in schools, they're trying to legalize pedophilia within about 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. You could see the steps they use to basically destroy society, and they make these things look benevolent.
Mm.
And that's they make evil look good and good look evil.
Yeah.
And that's the major thing the media does. I would not allow. I think it's child abuse to have any kid going to school nowadays.
Mm-hmm. So. Here's another one from the chat room. This is Sovereign Spark, who's a male, on 9/15/1975. So that's presumably 15th of September, 1975.
9/15/75?
A Virgo, yeah.
Okay, that is a one-life path. That's going to be someone who's a little bit more on the argumentative side. That's going to be someone who's pretty much a born leader. That's going to be someone who likes to play mind games with people. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is they'll do things on purpose to see the type of reaction they get out of people. Ones are pocket psychologists, because psychologist begins with S. S is the 19th letter. 1 and 9 is 10. 1 and 0 is 1. People who are one life paths, they tend to, you know, just push people around. But, you know, you need those type of people because they have God-given leadership ability. I talked about how nines are adaptable. Well, ones are not adaptable. They do things their own way. They see things their own way. That's that law of opposite thing working.
Uh-huh.
The fact that he's born on the 15th will make him responsible, home and family oriented. Family means a lot to people who are born on the 6th, 15th, and 24th. Not saying it doesn't mean, you know, stuff to everyone, but, you know, some people are just homebodies. And they're all about family, and that's basically people born on 6th, 15th, and 24th. The fact that he's born in 1975 means that 2005 was pretty much a tough year for him. And let's see, right now he is in a one-year cycle. So, yeah, the best advice I give ones is, you know, try to be a little bit more diplomatic in life. You know, you don't have to be a pushover like twos, but, you know, be a little bit more diplomatic. It will help you. Another way to look at numbers is you take someone's birthday, like, for instance, this gentleman, 9/15/75, mm-hmm. 1975, and you look at the numbers that are missing in his birthday. He doesn't have any twos in his birthday. He doesn't have any threes in his birthday. So he's missing that energy from the twos and threes. He has a lot of ones in his birthday. He has a seven. He has a five. Doesn't have an eight. You know, so he's missing that energy. So that's amazing. Another way of looking at birthdays, and that's when people actually start, you know, studying numerology for, and they know the basics, you know, little things to look up for. You know, there's different levels of this stuff.
That's that's a very interesting angle as well. To see what's missing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the
and like presumably that's what creates disease in your life.
Excuse me?
Is that what creates disease in your life?
I don't understand.
If you got numbers missing, you may have a disease in that related area.
Wow.
Discordance and.
I mean, here's the thing I've noticed: people who are sevens, who have a lot of sevens in them, they tend to break down body wise. So, you know, that if a person's missing sevens, there might be missing a little bit of. Genius level intellect, but their body will probably hold up a little bit more than most. So if that's what you mean by disease, you know, I could see it. But five life paths are very healthy. So if a person has a lot of fives in them, they should be more healthy than, let's say, other people. Mm-hmm. So I can see, you know, from that point of view, I don't think if someone doesn't have a number, that means they're going to have a disease.
Mm. Okay, all right. Okay, so we got, I'm scrolling right back now. If anybody's not had anybody's put their birthdays in the chat room, could you please put them in again so that I don't have to keep scrolling back because it's going right up and right. So this is from Kat, and her birthday is 12/07/47. So that's December the 7th.
12/07/1947?
Yeah. Sagittarian. I had a girlfriend with a...
Well, that is a person with a very high intellect, being born on the 7th. You're a loner at heart. You like spending time by yourself at times. You're the type of person that if you can't figure something out, it really bothers you. Also, you have no tact. You're going to tell people exactly what's on your mind. And, you know, very blunt personality. I call Sagittarius as truth terrorists because they're going to tell you exactly what's on their mind, and, you know, they're not going to sugarcoat it for you. As a person, you are a very hard worker in whatever you put your mind to. You might not be the traditional, 9-to-5 type of guy, but whatever you do, you put 110% in it. You work very hard. He's a 4-life path in total. Born in the year of the pig, which means you probably like to indulge in a few activities. I've known people who were born in the year of the boar. Sometimes they, you know, they like to eat a lot, or sometimes, you know, their tact level is very low. But you definitely like to have a good time. Ever since your birthday hit last year, ever since your birthday hit last year, you're now in a 5-year cycle. Expect more change, more travel in your life. Expect more people from the opposite sex to be around you, or your sex drive to increase because, again, 5 deals with sex. Even though, no matter how old you are, you know, that type of stuff doesn't, you know, it matters. But when you're in a 5-year cycle, trust me, you're in a 5-year cycle. let's see, and you have to be careful in 2013, and I'll just leave it at that.
Wow. Well, there you go. Thank you very much for that. That was Kat. So, who we got next? We have Infinite Om 09-09-1954, which is another 9, isn't it?
9-9-54?
Yeah. God, there's not many left.
Okay, I said, the adaptability is there. I'm not going to go through that again. Uh-huh. But you are a 1-life path in total, which means you have the best of both worlds. I said 9s don't like pressure. Well, because you're a 1-life path in total, that doesn't bother you too much. So you have the ability to adapt, and you have that leadership ability within you. So that's like the best of both worlds. You have a very, very critical nature, and I'll just, you know, put it at that. You know, you could just walk in a room and all of a sudden just something will upset you, you don't like something. You also have a very, very stubborn nature. I mean, you're a stubborn SOB, to put it the least. let's see, very scientific mind. And what do I mean by that is, whether you're into chemistry or whether you're into physics, it doesn't matter. You'll be very, very good at that. Computer science, anything like that, you'll be very good at. Again, I already talked about the qualities of the 1-life path, so I won't go into that again. But ever since your birthday hit last year, you've been more of a homebody, cutting more people off in your life, and probably had more work to do. Your tough year in life was probably 1996.
Right. So, that's great. So, and they are plenty of sugar-free readings. I like this. It's good to cut to the truth.
And if people give me their birthdays, I'm not. My name isn't McCants. I'm not going to sugarcoat it like she does on different programs. I'm going to tell you what it is. So, you know, if it's good or bad, I mean, if I see something too bad, maybe I'll cover that up. But it's.
All right.
I'm going to tell you what it is. So
here's a different energy for you to tune into, okay? 5-1, so that's May the 1st, 1972.
Okay, before I get into that birthday, and by the way, that person has like a genius-level intellect.
Uh-huh,
I want to talk about May the 1st.
Uh-huh.
May the 1st is one of the Illuminati's main holidays. I mean, that's their, you know, in communist countries around the world, they call that May Day. It's celebrated around the world. And basically, what I want to talk to people about was how the two biggest evil mercenaries in our lifetime and in past generations, Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden were announced to the world that they died on 5-1. 5-1 is the day of ritual sacrifice for the Illuminati.
Yeah.
And the fact that that Barack Obama came on national television, and he didn't do it in 5 o'clock in the evening or 11 o'clock like he holds most of his press conferences in the a.m. He came at the last minute at 11 o'clock p.m. on 5/1/2011 to announce that Osama bin Laden has been killed. Why did he do it that day? Because you have to announce sacrifices that day. And the reason I brought up Adolf Hitler was because the Russians announced he died on 5/1/1945.
Did they? That's fascinating. Because we were actually looking at this, Tracy Kennedy and I, on our shows earlier on this year, and we were talking, we've been talking a lot in the year past, and as you say, we've been learning a lot about the externalization of satanic ritual, particularly with one of our guests, Katie Galanti from San Diego. But we've been talking about how the Illuminati have trained us to do our own satanic ritual, and this whole thing started with the wedding and ended the whole weekend started with the wedding of Kate and Wills and ended with the death of Osama. There was a real kind of, there's a whole weekend party, wasn't there?
There, a lot of people say nothing happened on 11/11. Did they just find a body that's been there for a few months at Buckingham Palace or something like that?
At Sandringham, not at Buckhouse, but Sandringham was one of the houses.
I'm not sure the palaces, but I think they said it's been there for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe that was one of the ritual sacrifices.
Perhaps.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. I'm just speculating when it comes to stuff like that. But what I'm not speculating on is the fact that they announced, Barack Obama came on national television at 11 o'clock. I thought he was about to announce the default of the dollar or something.
Yeah.
this son of a bitch comes on at 11 o'clock to say they got Osama.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
Yeah. I mean, because, according to Benazir Bhutto, who was subsequently murdered for it, she said, "We know who killed Osama bin Laden."
So that's a good woman there.
Yeah,
that's a good woman. And you know, I want to make this clear. I'm not sexist, but very few women I would put in positions of power. Benazir Bhutto was as close to a Mother Teresa in Pakistan as will ever come again. You know, there are just some women out there like Margaret Thatcher in your nation that, just basically, to me, they great leadership ability. Let me give you an example. Women who have a lot of ones in them have a lot of leadership ability, have a lot of athletic ability. So they would have the same charisma, women, with that one number that men do. On the other hand, men who are born on the 2nd or the 20th, they might seem a little bit effeminate. They might even turn out to be gay. Sometimes when people confuse their energies, they don't understand what they're doing. Like, for instance, if you're a kid and you have a lot of twos in your birthdays, I mean, you have like four twos in your birthdays, and they start talking about the homosexual lifestyle in school, well, guess what? That might push you over the edge.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. So it'll inform the energy.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me go back to our friend born on 5/1/1972.
Yeah. Oh, poor old Pablo. She's been very nervous about this. So
No. Just because that's a satanic day doesn't mean you're a bad person. So,
No. She's not at all. She's gorgeous.
You are a 7. If I did that right, 1972. Yeah, you are a 7 of life path, which means you will be a loner at heart. Which means you do possess a much higher intellect level than most people do. I would say 90% of society. But the thing you have to understand is, since you're born in 72, you're always going to have, how can I put this? I'm probably freaking her out now. I'm just trying to find the right words. You're always going to have that need to basically move on and push people away. And right. that's something, you know, when you get close to someone, you might want to just instinctively push them away. And that's something you have to guard against. Ever since your birthday hit, you're in a one-year cycle, and I already explained what that means, new beginnings, new start in life, start being more independent. The difference between you and most sevens is you're born on the first, which would give you that more of the male energy. Seven is a neutral number. It's not male, it's not female, it's neutral. Mm-hmm. Just like the one is male and the two is female. So you have that neutral energy, but you also have that male energy from the one, which means you're not, you know, you can argue, you can get your point across, and you're not going to be the softest female personality-wise, but since you're born in 72, always trust your gut. Always trust your gut.
My God, you so nailed her. Absolutely nailed her. She's a very charming and very intelligent, very, very intelligent woman.
Oh, and, yes. Seven wife paths. The godfather of numerology, in my opinion, was Pythagoras. Mm-hmm. Pythagoras begins with a P. P is the 16th letter. 1 and 6 is 7. He had a numerology school, and, you know, this is before any of our times, obviously. And he would accept people if they basically, you know, showed potential, you know, to learn the numerology, astrology, metaphysical sciences. And he would automatically accept people if they were born on the 7th, 16th, or 25th, or if they were 7 of life paths. They were automatically accepted.
All right, brilliant.
But all the other numbers had to show they had what it took. Now, 11s most likely got accepted too, but I'm telling you that 7s off top, they get accepted. The best I don't really follow too many other numerologists. They talk about stuff I really, you know, I find that, you know, kiddie stuff. I'm not going to be talking about kindergarten stuff when I'm in college, you know. But the best numerologist I've seen in my life, all 7s. There's only one numerologist I call for advice, you know, just to talk sometimes, to throw some ideas back and forth, mm-hmm. and she's a 7.
Mm-hmm.
The 11s, they understand this stuff. The 11s are more into understanding everything, but the 7s are so analytical. They make for the best astrologers and numerologists. And the reason I'm saying this is because a person born 5/1/1972, they would be very good, at least at the art of astrology. And I'm sure she is.
Yeah, she's very learned, very studied, and actually is a leader of some in some areas where she brings conferences together and things like that.
That's great, because see, 7s have the intellect, but they don't usually have the the leadership ability to, you know, start stuff like that. They usually rely on others to set the lectures up. But since she's born on the first,
she's got that
she has
one.
The leadership ability too.
Yeah, definitely. And and the interesting thing you were saying about, you know, the way she pushes, she may push people away. She loves animals, and she's into guinea pigs and breeds them, and they are they are very, even her guinea pigs are charismatic and beautiful. So that was superb, and she says thank you very much, Gary, for the reading.
Hey, I'm just telling you the way it is. I mean, I'll say another thing about rats, people born in 1972. They're not the most loyal people in the world.
Is the word so capricious?
I hope you don't take that as offensive, but, uh-huh. It is what it is. let's just put it this way. I'm not saying they're bad people, but, you know, when it's time to fight or flight, the rat will usually, you know, try to dip, try to get out, you know, and live to fight another day. Mm-hmm. They'll get you other ways. They'll get you on an intellectual basis. They'll outsmart you. That's what rats do.
Yeah.
But, you know, not for physical confrontation. Even though, you know, she is a Taurus, and that you have to put that into effect. You know, Tauruses, if they get really mad, they might do something. But, you know, when you look at this stuff, you're trying to combine everything together and you know, to see what all the energies create.
Right.
Because, like, say someone's a 7 of life path, but someone's a all their numbers add up to a 25, that's going to be different than a 7-11 path who all of their numbers add up to a 34.
Mm-hmm. There's those different number sequences coming in again.
Oh, yeah. You know, you have to understand, all the stuff I talk about when I talk about sevens, that's a general seven.
Yeah.
If I was going to get into the 16th seven or a 25 seven or a 34 seven, I would probably give people a lot of information overload. And I try to keep it as not simple. I try to, you know, get it to the level where, you know, you study this stuff by yourself, you know, if you want to learn this.
Mm-hmm. You know, so talking about that,
numerologists, you got to see this stuff for yourself. You got to ask people their birthdays. You got to basically to see the people with similar birthdays, how they act, how they have similar personalities. And then you'll get it, not just by listening to me.
Yeah, although I could dare say that a large number of myself and a large number of the listeners are like drawing this in like water on the ink blotter. That's fascinating stuff, Gary. Thank you very much. One of the questions that came up in my mind was if you have. Hang on, let me see. No, I've lost the question again. It was about. No, it's gone. Damn it! You were saying something very interesting, and I thought of a follow-on question. But do go on. You were going to say.
No. I was just saying the different sequences of numbers really like make an effect. Let me give you an example. Bone and Skulls is a fraternity in Yale University, and they use the number 322.
322, that's
now,
right.
Now, there's a reason they use that number 322. You have to understand a little bit about numerology to understand that, but they use that sequence of numbers to basically promote what they're looking for. Now, you have the master number 22 in there, and 22 is the number of the master builder. 22 basically represents water.
Mm-hmm.
Water is a 22, and water basically, through erosion, through becoming steam, ice, it basically builds and destroys. It's the master builder, the landscapes all over the planet, the Ice Age. That all happened through water. 22 is a master builder.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, not that just that master builder energy, the 322 together makes a 7. So it's going to be on an intellectual basis. So they're basically, with that number, what it represents is, from an intellectual perspective, transforming the world into what they see fit. And that's the energy they're trying to perceive. Now, when you look at the number 322, you're not going to understand that. Hell, most numerologists don't understand that. But subconsciously, you will.
Because you catch the vibration of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's how smart these people are.
Yeah. So, I've got a couple... I have some questions. One of them is that... you mentioned a numerologist that you'd go to. So who is this numerologist? Numerologist?
Her website is Visible by Numbers. Her name is Allison.
Allison.
A great numerologist.
Visible by Numbers. Thank you very much. And, of course, your website, Gary.
My website is GaryTheNumbersGuy.net. You can just Google my name, Facebook, Gary the Numbers Guy, YouTube, Twitter. I don't use that account too often, though. Let's just put it this way. If you're just trying to learn the basics of numerology, go to Allison's site. She'll get you there. When you look at my site, I'm not explaining numerology. I still offer numerology readings and all that other stuff, but I'm explaining how the New World Order uses numerology because that's what I decided to focus my energy on instead of what other numerologists do.
That's superb. Thank you, Gary.
I see these other, for years I heard these other numerologists, and no one would talk about all the 11s in 9/11. That pissed me off. I'm like, wait a second, how are you calling yourself a numerologist, and someone calls in about 9/11, you're going to tell, oh, that was just a high energy day. Won't say anything else about it. Yeah. You know, that pissed me off. It really did. So I was looking at these other people, and I was like, well, hell, if no one else is going to do this, I'll do it.
Brilliant. And that's the way it happens. That's the way we find our life path, isn't it?
And, you know, through, like, I started talking, calling talk shows locally here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I got hooked up with the top show in town. I was in studio guest over 30 times. So I got the numerology out there. Then, you know, a few years ago, I started getting phone calls from national radio stations that would have me on. And it wouldn't be like this. You know, they would be trying to hammer me, trying to make me look bad. Guys, you know, just national talk show hosts trying to make me look bad. And that's fine, because what I realize is, no matter what, I throw so much information at people's faces through dates and history that I'm going to make people think twice. I'm planting that seed out there in numerology. You know, when I talk to someone like you or Stuart, I can be a little bit more open because people understand, you know, the people who listen to you are in a little different wavelength. Now, when I'm listening to the, you know, controlled opposition in media shows and, you know, the sheep that listen to them, you have to dumb it down for the audience. So I usually start talking about sports and how numerology coincides with the best players, and hoping that would get people interested into deeper stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. I found out that most people who listen are sevens, 11s, you know, master numbers, five life paths. People who are four life paths have a little bit difficult time with this, unless they have sevens or 11s in their birthdays. So, you know, sometimes when I go around and give lectures, you know, I can always spot the people who are four life paths, because they're always going to, you know, give me trouble with this. Well, you know, they're always going to be the first one to say, well, what about this? What about this? They're like, not everything happens on 11 day. And I'll be like, you're right. Not all big events happen on 11 day. But if you take the law of averages, and you take the biggest events in history, when, you know, 80, 70% of the biggest events in history happen around one number, and mathematically that number has, I don't know, like 10% chance of coming out each time, there's something there. And that's what people have to look at. You don't have to trust me. Trust the law of averages, because numbers ain't going to lie to you.
Excellent. Right. So here's some more numbers for you. This is a nice one. So this is 10th of January 1956, and this is Donna.
10th of January 1956.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another five life paths. So again, you said 10th of January, right?
Well, it's 1/10, isn't it? That's 10th of January, isn't it?
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
That's a five life path. Obviously, you traveled quite a bit in your life. You're definitely the type of person, very outgoing, a little bit more on the better looking side, very high sex drive. The fact that you're born on in the first month and the 10th day gives you that one energy, born leadership ability, are very argumentative. And now on a personal basis, you have to watch your knees, my friend, because your knees will be your trouble area in life. You're also in the 7-year cycle right now. In 7-year cycles, you have to expect to be more of a loner. You have to expect you're going to cut people off. You have to expect that you will have to gain a lot of knowledge this year. And if you don't, the universe will punish you with an injury to make sure that you have nothing to do but to study. This is not the year to try to make money. I mean, you have to eat, obviously, but this is not the year to try to get those get-rich-quick schemes like everyone has in 7-year cycles that almost never work.
the water filters. Yeah.
You know, people in 7-year cycles, you have to think. And I'm telling you, next year, that's when you do the monetary progress. But this year is more of a thinking stage. You're like a sponge. Gain as much knowledge as possible. And you have to beware of injuries. Because I know people who are born on the first, 10th, 19th, they tend to take care of their bodies. They like to work out. And I'm going to give you the same advice I give agents who train players in the NBA. Don't train them on the 7th, 16th, and 25th. You're asking for nothing but trouble, especially if you're in the 7-year cycle.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good advice for Donna. I hope she gets to hear that. So here was another one. 3/23/51, 23rd of March.
51?
51, yeah.
Okay, a total 6 life path, home and family oriented. Definitely the responsible type, born on the 23rd, higher sex drive, better looks, lots of travel in life, born 3/23, that would make 8, you are in a 3-year cycle right now, and in 3-year cycles, people tend to get bored a little bit more, They tend to, you know, run into people they haven't seen in a while. They make a lot of new friends. See, in three-year cycles, you make the friends, and in four-year cycles, you cut them off. That's usually how that works.
Yeah.
But in three-year cycles, you definitely, communication is the key. Communication starts with C. C is the third letter of the alphabet. It goes hand in hand. The top talk show host in the world is Rush Limbaugh. He's the best communicator in the world. He's born on the 12th. 1 and 2 is 3. He just happens to have the same birthday as Howard Stern. How about that? Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern, the two top people in radio the past 20 years, are born on the freaking same day. And again, you have that communication for he's born on the 12th, too. Sean Hannity, another very popular talk show host here in America, he's born on the 30th. So 3 stands for communication. And when you're in three-year cycles, you have to find better ways to communicate with people, and that's a good time to, you know, be in the radio, be in sales and stuff like that. But you expect to be a lot more bored than usual. So.
A lot more bored, did you say?
Yeah, just people in three-year cycles, they just get bored very easily.
Yeah.
Get distracted very easily. Sometimes they turn a little bit lazy, but, you know, it is what it is.
Just a bit of feedback for you. Pup, who was the 1972 super genius, it's like he has combined his lifetime study of numerology with a lifetime study of human personality to find patterns and correlate. This is very good, more interesting than most numerologists to me.
Oh, man, numerologists are boring. I've heard these people, man, and they talk about the same junk all the time, man. I'm not saying it doesn't have validity, because it really does, but, you know, when you listen to me, you're listening to numerology at a college level. When you listen to other numerologists, they're going to tell you kindergarten stuff. And I can't do that. It's just like me talking sports numerology. I can do it all day, but it's boring.
This is great. It's really kind of gritty stuff.
If you want another numerologist I would recommend, like I said, Allison is a great numerologist. She will go through the basics with you, and she's the only one I would recommend, in all honesty.
Mm. Is Allison a 7 name? It seems to glow.
She's a 7.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend anyone who wasn't a 7.
Brilliant. So, you ready for some more? We've got another half hour. Do you need to take a kind of mind break? Or just,
go ahead, bro.
Okay.
I do this so quickly, I've trained my mind.
You are seriously good, man. You're very, very good. So, June the 25th,
you believe I went to Las Vegas and I tried to get a job doing this 5 years ago, and everyone said, no, you can't do this. I went to the pit bosses, and I was like, what's your birthday? I tell them all this stuff. They're like, how'd you know that? I told you, I'm a numerologist. No, really, how'd you know that? Are you spying? You've been looking at me? I mean, how'd you know all that stuff? I'm a numerologist. No one belongs to believe me.
They burn people like that. You know, they used to anyway. All right, so yeah, take care and wear Kevlar. You know. 25th of June, 1991. This is Tracy's son.
25th of June, 1991. Sixth wife path, going to be a homebody, to a point, responsible, home and family oriented. Born on the 25th, will definitely give you that intellect that very few people have. You said 91, correct?
Yeah.
91, people born at 91 tend to complain a little bit too much. They tend to bitch a little bit too much about their own problems. That's something normal with 91s. Also, 91s had tough years in 2003. That's for sure. That was incorrect. No. 91s did not have tough years in 2003. It was 1997 they had tough years. So excuse me, that's my fault.
But she's saying he's had a couple of tough years recently.
And people who were born on the 25th, of all the sevens, being born on the 7th, being born on the 16th, the 25th would be the most sensitive out of all of the sevens because it has that 2 number in it too. So sometimes you have to watch that sensitive streak, especially if you're a Cancer. You got to watch that sensitive streak, my friend.
Yeah.
Also, let's see, you're in an 8-year cycle now, so gain weight, lose weight very easily, and money has probably been the main issue since your last birthday hit, and that will pass after your next birthday. But you're in the 8-year cycle now, so money does take precedence to a point. Also, karma. 8-year cycles represent karma. So if you're having a tough year, especially since your birthday hit, it has something to do with your karma, my friend. And like I said, I don't sugarcoat things. If you look, do you remember the Arizona shooting in America last year?
Oh, with the judge and all that. That was messed up.
Oh, no, it is what it is. But the reason I brought that up, I was talking about karma. Judge Roll, the judge who was shot and killed, was born on the 8th. Mm-hmm. Congresswoman Giffords, who's from the 8th Congressional District, was born on the 8th. And the shooting happened on January the 8th by a guy who was born in 1988, which adds up with 988, adds up to 26268. So karma had a part to do with that.
Wow.
And I always bring that up as an example. So you always have to be very careful with your karma, especially when you're in an 8-year cycle. And if you're born on the 8th, 17th, and 26th, let me tell you something. You can't do anything wrong because the karma is going to come right back to you real, real quick. Like, for instance, me, you, someone else could do something wrong. It won't come back to us maybe until our next 8-year cycle. Maybe it'll come back to us in our next lifetime.
Oh, right.
But 8, they get theirs right away.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. Here's another one. This is another son. This is another son of... this is Rebecca's son. June the 25th... Oh, no. Sorry. 16th of February, 1981.
2/16/1981. Well, you can tell that person their bad years behind them. The year of the cat actually ends today, and the cat is the rooster's enemy. And what I mean by rooster, someone born in 1981. So basically, the Earth was releasing energy this year that was not very compatible to people born in 1981, 1993, 1969, the year of the rooster. So you can definitely expect that negative energy to be gone. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, that's when the year of the dragon starts. 2/16.
That's good news.
7/9. He's a one life path. Obviously, what he needs to learn to do is be diplomatic. he is not a diplomat at all. His way or highway, he's going to try to argue you. He's going to try to outsmart you. But he's not afraid of physical confrontation, unlike people who are born in the year of the rat. And people who are born in the year of the rooster, they go head first. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need some tact, some diplomacy. The fact that he's born on the 16th obviously gives him a high level of intellect. The 1 and 6 are very, very good a combination. As a matter of fact, 16 represents the occult. Mm-hmm. So people born on the 16th and 7th, and not so much 25th, but 25th too, because it does have that 7th influence. People born on the 6th, they have they're very susceptible to understanding the occult, especially since he's an Aquarius. But they have to put their time in. They have to study it. You know, it's not going to just come to them. They have to put in a little work, less than most people, but they still have to put in a little work. Ever since his birthday hit, since his birthday is coming up, he's about to be in a 5. So he was in a 4-year cycle and his opposite year cycle. He might have been in some kind of trouble with the law, maybe more traffic tickets or something like that. Last year, but now he's going to be a 5-year cycle. Expect a lot of change in his life. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to do a lot more traveling, a lot more moving. Whether he's married or not, his sex drive is going to increase dramatically. Expect a lot more people of the opposite sex to be around him. And, a lot of people get in a lot of trouble in their 5-year cycles when they start cheating. I'm not saying he would. Roosters are very loyal when it comes to being... with their mates, but a lot of people get in a lot of trouble cheating on their mates when it comes to 5-year cycles.
Right.
So, that's something, because their sexual energy just increases and the universe starts, putting people from the opposite sex a lot closer to them. Sometimes people make mistakes like that, and that's something people have to guard against, just putting some information out there.
So that's a tricky one in a 5-year, is that?
Well, just think of it this way. You feel you're in the midlife crisis, and all of a sudden you're in a 5-year cycle, and all these women start coming at you from out of nowhere, and it hasn't been like that in 9 years since your last 5-year cycle, and you don't know what's going on, and you have a wife. Sometimes people make mistakes, and it goes the other way too with the women.
Wow. Wow, brilliant. This person is married, so does it bode ill?
Well, just know their sexual energy is going to increase.
Okay.
So, you know, be a little bit more, you know, busy in the bedroom. No, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, fives, yeah. Fives are very, very sensitive to touch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they love to be massaged. You know, they're very sensitive to you know, sexuality and stuff like that. So in 5-year cycles, that energy hits everyone.
Mm. Right.
I mean, I've explained a lot of times that fives are very good looking, and the fives also stand for sexual energy. Mm. It would make sense that, you know, the most highly sexed signs are the best looking, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's one. That would fit. That certainly would fit. Wow, thank you very much for that. So here's right at the other end of the spectrum, or you know, going back to children, there's Anon 2258 from the chat room says, my granddaughter born 6/7/11, so she's
well, that's a little bit early to be giving birthday readings.
All right,
but you know, someone born with that type of birthday, expect them to have a high level of intellect. They're gonna. Let me just say something about Geminis.
Please.
A lot of people might not want to hear this, but Geminis are not the most faithful sign. Okay? A lot of times people marry Geminis, like Newt Gingrich here in America, who cheated on both his wives, and they don't understand why Geminis cheat. It's because they have a split personality, and they're not really the type of people that can be with one person for too long. Now, let's say that that Gemini is born, you know, in the year of the rooster. Well, that would make it a little bit more, reliable in that type of area. But overall, Geminis are not really the marriage type of people. They usually always cheat. So if you get in a relationship with a Gemini, understand that's something that is very possible.
Yeah, expect it to end. My ex-wife.
I'm not putting down all Gemini, yeah, saying they can't. But I'm just saying it's hard for a Gemini not to cheat as it is for a fat kid not to eat candy.
Yeah. Yeah, but just to put a frame around that, my ex-wife, I'm husband number two, and she's coming up to number four, so.
And she's a Gemini?
Yeah.
Okay, well, like I
but
said.
But she's a 5. She's 5'6", 57. And so she's very tall and good looking.
5'6", 1957?
Yeah.
Oh, she's a rooster. Oh, yeah. Roosters, women keep themselves in very good shape. They care about their looks a lot more than most.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you said 5'57". Oh, she's a 33 life path, my friend.
All right.
Oh, that, she definitely, has a lot of influence over people.
She's very persuasive.
Yes.
She really is.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Definitely say that.
She's
But it that has nothing to do with the five. You know, I'm not going to go into she's your ex-wife. You know what the five means. But, the Gemini is just, you know, it's in their nature. It's very difficult for them to be with one person.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I understand from a numerologically and astrology standpoint, know why people sometimes do the things they do. I'm not justifying it, I'm just telling you from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like from the Illuminati's perspective, if there was no World War I, no World War II, no upcoming World War III, there would be 10 billion people on the planet, and more people would be dying off starvation. I'm just telling you from their perspective.
So we got more. Where we go. I'm trying to get people who are actually in the in the chat room, and then because everybody's saying, "Oh, what about my girlfriend? What about my you know?" So we have, here we go, a female 9/19/2011. All right, so that's 19. another child born on the 19th of September.
That's going to be a 5 life path. Going to be a good looking kid. Definitely not going to be one that it's going to stand still. It's going to learn very quickly. See, one thing about fives is they learn quick. I mean, they pick stuff up quick. The only problem is it goes in one ear, it goes out the other.
All right.
That's the problem with fives. They don't retain all the information they learn, but they learn quick as hell.
So they'll be like good at exams, reading up one night, regurgitating it the next day, and by Thursday it's gone.
it'll be gone. It'll be gone. But, you know, the sevens actually retain the information, but the fives weren't it the quickest. If you watch American football, the quarterback's the most important position. Well, most athletes are 11s, but if most of the quarterbacks, I have those born on the 5th, 14th, and 23rd because they make those quick decisions. They can read defenses very quickly. It's just interesting to watch how fives operate from certain positions. But one thing I do want to say, people who are born on the 19th, sometimes they're born with some kind of deformity. Or and I'm saying everyone, so again, and this is just from my personal perspective, sometimes they're born with some kind of condition or, missing a finger, something like that. I've just seen it too many times with people born on the 19th.
Right. Okay.
So that's something, And if the kid's born January 19th, or did I get that right?
No, this is September. Actually, okay, I see September now, 19th. And actually
that's the fact.
Yeah, it's 19th of September. It's actually 2010, not 2011. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, it's 2010?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that messed up that whole reading.
Reading, huh? well, that's a four life path. Well, forget everything I said.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, forget everything I said. That's a four life path. Fours are very the most law-abiding citizens. A lot of cops, military officers are four life paths. Fours are the type of people that, they're the worker bees in life, the worker ants. They're the type of people who have 2-3 jobs in life. Work. Work is a four-letter word. It's all about work to these people.
Uh-huh.
They have nothing to do, they'll be bored as hell. You know, they always have to have something to do. The three life path is going to be, get bored, just sit there and do nothing. The four will get bored and find something to do, some kind of work. They're what I call the worker bees in life. And like I always tell people, whenever it's the 4th, 13th, or 31st, don't speed because those are the best days to get tickets.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Which dates are there? Can you just repeat those? 4th?
The 4th, the 13th, or the 31st in the month. People should be very, very careful how they drive, because those are the days that, whether police are aware of it or not, they're going to be out in force those days. I mean, I've been doing this for, quite a while, so whenever it's a 4-day, I just know there's so many freaking cops on the streets. It's just, people just don't get it. I was actually doing a numerology reading a few years back for someone on the other side of the law, and, I gave him some tips, too.
How to avoid being caught.
Let's just put it this way, man. Sometimes, in 2007, before I started calling talk shows, I decided that it would be a good idea to visit the FBI office in Cleveland, Ohio, so I could put this all information out there, so in case I ever hit one of these, right on the head, they won't be knocking on my door.
I wanted to
get all that out the way. So, I went there, I showed them all my information, all my proof, and they laughed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I asked them to give them, the FBI agents, to give them both their birthdays, and one of them gave me their birthday, and I read them like a book, and he's like, wow, that's pretty good. And then the other one, I was like, well, what's your birthday? He's like, I'm not telling you. So I was like, okay, five.
Five, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've had people call me for advice and refuse to give me their birthday. Refuse, because they don't want me knowing anything about them. And they know I'm not a psychic, so I can't, there's certain things I can figure out by the way a person talks. And I might be able to figure out what number they are, but for me to actually, guess a birthday, I'm not psychic.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. Last year, someone was calling me about the stock market, and they wanted me to break down the stock market with them, but they didn't want me to know their birthday. And I was like, listen, dude, if I don't know your birthday, I'm not helping you. And then the guy increased the amount of money he was paying me, so I was like, okay, fine. But some people just don't want me knowing their birthdays because they know I basically can read them like a book.
Strip them bare naked.
Well, I mean, there's very few things I couldn't tell by a person's birthday.
Incredible. Gary, you have been at it like a six-cylinder engine for nearly 2 hours non-stop. You are amazing. Plus, thank you for being absolutely spontaneous. For, you know, just, I said I'd love to have you on the show. Bang, you're on. That's great. What's your number?
I'm a 33 OFF.
You're a 33. So you're kind of unstoppable?
I wouldn't say that. I'm born on the 7th, and I'm a 33. I'm kind of built for this stuff.
Right.
So just to put it like that, I'm, you know, some people are born athletes, some people are born, you know, models. Some people are born to be rich. Well, I'm born knowing things.
You're born to do this. Brilliant. So, in the last 6 minutes, it's about 5 minutes, Infinite Om keeps asking, prediction for 2012. Now, I know you did a lot of that in Stuart's show. Is there anything that you feel that you may have missed or that you want to...
Nothing I've missed. Yeah. Maybe a few things or I didn't feel like...
Or to flesh out a bit.
Let's just say this year, people can expect a lot of change. And I'm not talking about the dreams Obama was telling people in 2008 about hope and change. Mm-hmm. Change is really coming. People expect a lot more accidents. People can expect some kind of mutation of the bird flu or some kind of disease to pop up this year. People can expect a lot more accidents. If you're driving on the road, you're going to see a lot more accidents this year, like that shipwreck in Italy, that's going to be that's not uncommon in 5 year cycles.
Right.
The Titanic, I believe, sunk on a 5 day. I could be wrong about that. 412. I think it sunk 1912. Maybe I got the wrong day, but I could have been mistaken about that. But perceive a lot more accidents. There's going to be a lot more babies born this year because in 5 year cycles, people like to get busy.
It's all those accidents they're putting them. You know, well, maybe they're without the car, they have a crash. They without the car, they can't do it. Can't go anywhere.
Expect a lot more kids to be born in 2013. I'll just put it that way. And expect the monetary system to start being shook up because next year, I do believe, will be the nail in the coffin, at least from in the Federal Reserve from its power standpoint. Maybe it won't be stripped totally. But the Federal Reserve is coming to an end. I told people that the Federal Reserve runs on the 13 system, the 12 regional banks plus the main Board of Governors in Washington, D.C., 12 plus 1, 13. Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve, born on the 13th. The Federal Reserve was born in 1913. 13, so
yes.
I do expect a lot of monetary changes in 2013. It's not going to be the end of the world, folks. Don't worry about that. But what could happen is some of those solar flares that happen every 11 years could really mess up the communications grid. The electricity blackouts could be a lot more common. I just went through a blackout here where I was. Probably, what was it, on the 17th, not so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So people can expect, like I said, blackouts. The good thing is people are going to learn to have fun again. People in 5 years do have fun. You know, how people have their fun, that's up to them. But people will let a lot more loose in 2012. But the main year is 2013. Don't let anyone confuse you that it's going to be the end of the world. You know, that date they keep telling everyone about, 12/21/2012.
Yeah.
Well, if you add up the date, 12212012 adds up to an 11. Again, fear tactic. And also that day has a lot of the 1 and 2 energy because there's nothing else in that day besides 1s and 2s and 0s. You take out the 0, you have the merging of the male and the female energy. So I do believe that females will become gain a lot more positions of power now since the year 2000, and the male energy will probably fall dramatically. Just expect the society to be a lot more feminized right now.
Well, that's certainly in line with a lot of other predictions and forecasts. And what amazing high density show you've really made my day. You made my weekend, really, Gary. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. I used to do a talk show host, and you know, they're like, Gary, you need breaks. I'm like, no, You're a talk show host. You don't need breaks. I remember all of these clowns used to come in with material to talk about what they wanted to talk about. You know, you just put a microphone in front of me, I start talking, because that's what you got to be able to do as a talk show host.
Absolutely.
But I've learned that, you know, it's very hard to do the internet radio thing. I've done that, you know. So I do so many shows, you know, from the main shows to, you know, inspirational shows like yours. It really does help. You know, get that talk show energy out of me, because, you know, as I said, I'm a 33 and I do have that 3 energy with me, and the 3 what's communicating.
You're built for it, mate.
The thing about most people who are 7s is they get this stuff, they understand it, but they won't really talk about it because, you know, they're loners. They won't really talk about it too much. But with me, I'm born in the 7th and I'm a 33, so that makes me a little bit more, you know, vocal. To say the least.
Gary, the numbers man, thank you very much.
Numbers guy.
The numbers guy. Beyond. Ever beyond. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. In 1 hour's time, we've got Ms. Muggsy with her free psychic readings. Do stay tuned to this fantastic evening. Good night and God bless.